is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. And 8th of May 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin. I am my mother's savage daughter, Green. I shall not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. And why should any of us? Because we all have things to say. That's why you should tune in election night. Trust the team you trust every single day. On May 12th, your Guardian Radio host will be live from the moment the polls close until the election is called, with the Guardian News Network team providing verified results and live reporting from all across the country. Every day and every election day, count on the folks you know on Guardian 9 and GuardianTalkRadio.com. Good morning. We are days away from the general election. You see how I said that? I said that like this, we are days away from the Super Bowl, right? Because every political cycle need to treat national elections like they're a game, like they're a sport, like they're a competition. That's on a good day. On a bad day, we got people who can't jump over a 2-foot fence calling it war and trying to send young people out there to wage their violence all around the place. Not the young people violence, you know. On behalf of a political class that will not get up and fight its own war. I am terribly disappointed by this year's election cycle. I cannot believe that another cycle and Bahamians have allowed themselves to get caught up in this trap once again. Y'all continue to allow politicians who refuse to speak to you face to face to spin the narratives of the day. You continue to allow politicians who refuse to follow the law to acknowledge that there are laws that they're beholden to. You continue to allow them to create the narrow framework for this political exercise. But Trump's internet, watching MSNBC and Now and Fox TV, and engage in all of this global political discourse. But when a Bahamian political leader says, yeah, we ain't having no debates, y'all just trying to say, well, yeah, that's right, that's what daddy say. That's what daddy say, we don't need no debates. We could just go vote. We have refused to demand political debates. The PLP set up one little thing. I mean, 4 MPs sitting on a stage with a room lit like a bar room, like a nightclub, talking about what? Nothing. Another election cycle, and we have allowed politicians to play the same silly game with us. Tricks are for kids. Rallies are for drunkards. You don't talk policy at rallies. You talk politics at rallies. But every cycle, y'all allow the political class to get up on y'all face and play. We cannot tolerate honorable men telling us that you must do dishonorable things to gain the title. We cannot tolerate those who declare themselves the smartest people in the country telling us they have no need to talk to us about anything. Not the debt that we and our children and our grandchildren and our descendants will be responsible for. Not the policies that continue to marginalize us and in some instances malign us in our own country. How could somebody be declared an enemy or a troublemaker for asking simple questions? Like we're going to say to the foreign investor that told his employees he don't care if they break the law. Go park at the office of the prime minister if you don't feel safe parking your car at Goodman's Bay. I don't understand it. I don't get it. We've reached another election cycle, and we've allowed ourselves to get caught up in the smoke and mirrors. Imagine supposedly respectable people. Why would I have to open my phone today to see an agent of a political party attacking my MP and his wife? And his wife saying the most unnecessary and nasty things. You know why it happens? Because y'all have nothing else to talk about because you refuse to prepare yourself for a proper election cycle. See, here's the purpose of the Spoil the Ballot campaign as I ran it. You don't have to allow politicians to tell you what your policy. In no other space do you allow your employee to tell you what the job is and what it looks like. You don't only have to participate in the electoral and political process at the voting booth. And you don't actually need politicians to engage in political discourse. We could have had debates. We don't need to rely on them. We could have had leaders in every sector that would have been assessed as a part of our determination of how we are going to vote. We could have had leaders from every sector take the stage and provide for us a framework for what a conversation with a politician about the sector should look like. Most of all, I could be honest, these guys call a short election, not giving us enough time to really delve into the questions that have remained on the table. How many questions still left to answer in question time? Anyway, I'm saying all of that to say this. I have in studio with me a guest who has, over multiple election cycles, provided a framework for Bahamians to engage this electoral cycle and the politicians that seek our support. This organization has consistently created a framework that is broad enough from anybody from any sector to engage to assist them in creating policies that could be presented to candidates, that could be used to assess the policies that candidates... The candidates are not allowed to speak. Remember, one voice, one leader, one party. So joining me in studio this morning is Alicia Wallace, founder and director of Equality Bahamas. This morning, we're going to continue a conversation we started earlier in the month of April, but we are focusing today primarily on the workshop series that Equality Bahamas has been running for almost a full year called Developing Feminist Standards for Governance. In this workshop series, Equality Bahamas members and members of the have generated policies that focus on issues that they have identified in the country generally or in their communities or lives specifically. It is the only exercise that I have seen in this election cycle that is A, open to the public. I don't know what y'all be doing in your special interest groups, in your private meetings. I don't know. It's the only working group open to the public that provides a framework for creating policies for the purpose of contributing framing of the next 5 years of governance. That's the work we must also be doing while we're attending rallies. Rallies are fun. People is dance. We get jokes. But it's not the appropriate place to talk about policy. That rallies are like the House of Parliament. What you say holds no weight outside of the rally stage. There is no mandate to follow promises made on the rally stage. In fact, there's no expectation to follow promises made on the rally stage. And they've told you this over and over again. So yeah, I'm a little frustrated that we've moved through another election cycle with lots of, where the Shakespeare boy is right now, lots of noise and fury with just much ado about nothing. Something like that. Y'all polish up on y'all Shakespeare. See how I can be out there. Make sure y'all have the King's English on. Absolutely. So joining me in studio, I have Alicia Wallace. We are going to talk about Equality Bahamas' Feminist Standards for Governance workshop series, which policies have arisen from them, and a couple of other things on the board. Good morning, Ms. Wallace. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. So let me ask you the first question. Was developing feminist standards for governance well received by the community?
We saw a lot of excitement from the people who showed up to participate. We have to admit that it wasn't the broad participation that we would have loved to have due to resourcing, but also sometimes a reluctance to participate in processes that people might fear are complicated or overly academic, but we design a process that anyone could step into and be able to participate, even if they showed up late to a session, people could really participate in it. And it was great to see the shift in people from the time that they come in for the first time to when the session ends. Because there can be a little bit of apprehension. Yeah. You know that I have issues that I want to raise. There are things that I'm really not satisfied with that I want to see change on, but I don't necessarily know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there can be hesitation to raise an issue when you don't immediately have a solution. Mm-hmm. But the process is designed for people to not think about the solution right away so that we can get to the root and look at systemic issues. And by the end of the session, you can see people growing in their confidence and their ability to be able to think through issues and really truly building community, people meeting each other in the space and being able to build on each other's ideas. So we've seen relationship building through this process, confidence building, and of course, the primary outward goal to come up with these recommendations so that we can develop policies that can be used regardless of who wins the next election, and giving ourselves an advocacy tool, not just as Equality Bahamas, but women, young people with disabilities. We have something to hold on to for the next 5 years that we can use when we engage with politicians, with decision makers.
Absolutely. I fear that people may have been apprehensive because of the word feminist. and then putting it next to standards, right? And I think people may have misunderstood what was taking place, right? The workshop series didn't focus on feminist ideas or limit participants to only developing feminist-approved policies. For me, the feminist standards for governance was the feminist part was about the process, the way that exactly. we worked together to produce a policy statement versus the idea that anything that is perceived as non-feminist is not tolerated and will be kicked out of the room, which is not the case at all. It's about the process of bringing ideas together and the process of working with maybe sometimes conflicting ideas to develop a singular but effective.
Absolutely. And the feminism also comes in when we're participating in the session as who we are in the world. Your socioeconomic status comes with you. Your gender comes with you. Your sexuality comes with you. But in these sessions, we encourage people to think outside of their own identities and their own experiences. So when if you came to a session, you probably got a card, and this card had an identity. And we encourage people to think about what would it be like to be this person, an elderly person, a person who is or has been institutionalized, a young person, a person who has a disability, so that when we're thinking through issues, we're not just thinking about ways that they affect us, but the ways that they affect specific groups of people. And that ensures that we are considering the conditions and the experiences of people who are experiencing the most vulnerability, and we're not leaving them out of our solutions.
Let me take it to the very sort of political, to politics and governance right now. Empathy, right? Understanding identity, assuming other people's experience, right? Calls one thing is clear, well, for those who are looking at it, and perhaps it's just my perspective. I think we could see, or at least I can see, through a casual observation of policy and practice in this current administration, a complete and utter lack of empathy. Like you could, it's almost rank the lack of empathy. And when I say the reason I use rank is it's so obvious. Like you could smell it. You don't even have to open the policy paper. Just by reading the cover, you get this sense that there's a profound lack of empathy involved, that policies are being created without actually considering how they're going to impact the lives of those most close to the issue, closest to the issue, right? And then how it impacts others. Because sometimes it is that we forget to acknowledge or to consider how it impacts the constituency it's supposed to serve, right? And then sometimes we're so focused on the constituency it's supposed to serve, we never acknowledge how it impacts other people peripheral to that primary constituency or group of people.
Or we think about a constituency as a bunch of people who are all the same. Whether that constituency is St. Anne's, Bain and Grantstown, you just think all those people, I envision a certain person in this constituency. If you think about women as a constituency, if you think about youth, a certain image comes to mind. It might be positive, it might be negative, it might be somewhere in the middle. But you also have to think about the people within that group who are having completely different experiences because of their identity, because of the amount of money that they make or don't make, because of the conditions that they live in, who they live with, whether or not they have children, whether or not they are Bahamians, whether or not they Grand Bahama, what are the experiences of people in the Family Islands? So we can think about women and make all kinds of policies and all kinds of decisions to improve the lives of women. But if we're not thinking about women in the Family Islands, we are sure to fail. We will fail them for sure.
Let me give you an example, just a very, very quick example. And I think I referenced it the last time you were on air. I don't have the stories right to hand. I mean, I have them right here, but I could behave. When Davis was leader of the opposition and he recommended or suggested to the then Prime Minister Minnis that, you know, you should recommend whistles. We should give these women whistles to stay safe, right? And then when Minnis was leader of the opposition and Davis was Prime Minister, Minnis brought the whistles to give to the women parliamentarians, right? And I'm thinking right now, okay, so you brought some whistles and maybe I wouldn't agree on that strategy. What happens at Junkanoo time? What could happen if I try to blow my whistle on at Junkanoo? Right? Because remember when Junkanoo was like the, I don't know how to phrase it statistically, but the highest incidence of feeling up would take place at Junkanoo. What's the effect of blowing my whistle on Junkanoo night? Right? Like, are we really practicing empathy? Are we really putting ourselves into the lives of the people who these policies are supposed to impact, whose lives are supposed to be improved by these policies? And that's one thing I found in participating in the working sessions, a profound amount of empathy. Curating the room, most of all, ensuring that everybody in the room feels a sense of equity and equality, feels heard, right? That understanding we're talking about sensitive subjects, that everyone working on this policy paper is attention to what other people in the room are doing. Like, do you notice when that person probably shudders when you use a particular word?
Right.
Right? Are you aware of that? Because that's an indicator that perhaps the constituency that she may represent in this space is uncomfortably, that word has a specific meaning to a specific group of people in the country, and you must be aware of that when you're making policy.
And you may not know it. And you might not be aware of why someone is reacting in a particular way. We're encouraged to have difficult conversations and ask questions, lead with questions, right? Lead with curiosity. It really helps for people to build a sense of safety with each other. And that was really important for this process. Mm-hmm. It was a group of strangers coming together to talk about issues.
Yeah.
It might sound simple, but it's actually quite difficult to do in a group of complete strangers coming from different backgrounds, different perspectives. And we really encourage people to be open to other ideas and to really be appreciative of experiences to help us to understand something on a deeper level.
Absolutely. Okay, so how far along in the process are you? How many policy standards have been created so far in the workshop series? And where can the public reach out to find them?
We have about 25 recommendations that are up now on our website, equalitybahamas.com. You can find them there. And we have stated them on the website for now very simply in one sentence so that it's easy for the public to engage with it, go through, read the recommendations under the various themes, including health, education, youth, and social services, and see what resonates. Mm-hmm. And next week, we will have a full publication on the recommendations where we will be sharing a little bit more detail on what these recommendations mean. And also where they came from. Mm-hmm. We want to be very clear that all of these recommendations came from about 2 hours of discussion with a group of people, various groups of people. And we started from general brainstorming about a theme. We landed on an issue that everybody wanted to work on together. And we really avoided trying to just come up with a solution to the issue. We really wanted to think about the systems that exist beneath this issue to ensure that the recommendation or the demand that we come up with isn't just addressing something on the surface. It's getting issues don't spring up from that same system of inequality or a system that is just inefficient, ineffective.
Yeah.
So those details will come out like next week.
For example, in a healthcare setting, shifting some services to post 6 p.m., post like sort of typical working life to accommodate working people, but not acknowledging that public transportation also stops at 6 p.m. So there are people who need those services that will not be able to access them after 6 p.m. because there's no public transportation available at the time, right? Like sort of things like that.
Absolutely.
All right.
And it's also interesting to see, and eventually we will create a matrix so that this will be more clear. It's interesting to see where recommendations crossed thematic areas. Mm-hmm. So public transportation came up, as you're mentioning now, in health.
Mm-hmm.
It also came up in labor and economy.
Mm-hmm.
How does this affect people's ability
to get to work?
Get to work?
And productivity.
It comes up also in the area of women, looking specifically at issues of gender and young people and safety.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see how many recommendations crossed different thematic areas and how systems can affect so many different aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's also important to point out that this feminist standards for governance process is not just for elections, right? It's not just for engaging politicians with policy ideas. It's not just for engaging politicians to challenge policy ideas, right? But it's also a tool that can be used whoever is elected, right? You have now developed policies and you can use that to assess the new administration's policies. And you could say, hey, yeah, I see this is what you're doing, but have you ever considered this policy, right? And so now you have developed a tool that you can use to assess existing policy or policy that will be created, right, by the next administration over the next 5 years. It's not just a tool for engaging the electoral process.
Absolutely. And it's a way that we can score any administration as we go along and look at gaps between what we people, the people mm-hmm. in these groups said we want and we need to see, and what a government administration has decided, or a political party mm-hmm. has decided they think we want, or they think we should want, or they think would be good enough just to get themselves in those seats. And one of the things that we looked at in the session is the gaps. When we talk about, okay, what are the issues? What do we need to change? What is it that's keeping us from solving this problem persist?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us to think through not just the solution, but how can we realistically implement it? What do we need to do? Who do we need to engage?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we need to get on our team? How do we build support for this change?
So I think it's also important to point out that this is not a tool to go to combat against politicians with. This is a tool that ultimately can assist policymakers, right?
Absolutely.
In refining existing legislation, enhancing existing legislation, and in creating new and more expansive legislation and policies.
Absolutely. It is a people's agenda. It's coming directly from members of the public.
All right. Now you said members of the public. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, I hope you're still there. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, now, I hear you say from a people's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and you also use the term we,
mm-hmm.
right? But according to who is on your panel, this is from a feminist perspective, right?
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question. You just turned in?
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Okay, since you ain't hearing me, continue talking.
No, I'm asking if then you all say we, right?
Right, okay, good. And then I ask you if you are just tuning into the show, because I sort of kind of addressed that earlier. You see the tone I'm taking? It's the same as the tone as you're taking, but mine is just a bit sharper. You know what I'm saying? You're doing the same thing. What is the problem? Okay, so what I explained was feminist is really about the way that the policies are created, not that any feminist idea or ideal is being forced down your throat, but that the process of coming together and bringing ideas together, it's a feminist process.
Erin,
mm-hmm.
I didn't say a feminist ideal.
Oh, no, you didn't have to say it. It's implied. It's implied.
Okay, I said a feminist perspective.
Yeah, okay, good. I want you to understand that there's no difference in those two words that you just used, perspective and ideal. I want you to understand that I am treating you as savvy as you are. I'm not dumbing you down. What I'm telling you is you're a smart man and don't play games with me. I want to make that distinction.
I'm not saying you're stupid.
I'm saying don't play games with me. Let's speak plainly because you are a smart man, evidenced by what you're saying.
Let me speak plainly.
Okay, then.
Okay. You are addressing the general population.
No. Yes, we are addressing the general population.
The general population.
Good.
On problems that are generally in the population in terms of logistics and timing and
everything, anything that access, anybody is experiencing can come to the table.
Right. Now, see, you know, I understand that. But, you know, I just want to be clearly clear. But, you know, but if you have a certain...
It sounds like, let's be clear, it sounds like you're afraid of the word feminist.
No, no.
No, no, yes, yes.
No, 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 no.
Once again, hold on, once again.
Raised by my mother.
Pause for a second. That's good, because women are the greatest perpetuators of patriarchy. See, that's the thing. Women do everything better than men, including patriarchy. Pause for a second. The process is not feminist ideals or perspectives. It's a process that ensures that every voice is acknowledged and heard equally, even if it is perceived to be a non-feminist voice. Right?
Okay.
That's what feminist means. That you don't have to agree with feminism to come to the table and be treated as an equal or to receive what it is you need in the space. Rick, you're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do it.
Wait,
he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know, Junior, you don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I...
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This election night, trust the team you trust every single day. On May 12th, your Guardian radio hosts will be live from 6 p.m. until the election is called, with verified results, breaking developments, and reporting from the entire Guardian News Network, the teams from Guardian Digital and the Nassau Guardian, every day and every election day. Stay with the Guardian News Network on Guardian Radio 96.9 and Star 106 FM.
Voting is one of the most powerful ways Bahamians can shape the future of our country. It is how we make our voices heard on the issues that affect our everyday lives, from the cost of living, jobs, and education, to healthcare, housing, and how we protect our environment. Some people think their vote doesn't matter, but choosing not to vote doesn't stop decisions from being made. It simply leaves those decisions in the hands of others. Now is the time to get informed and get involved. Learn about candidates, ask questions, and compare their priorities. Seek reliable information and participate in public discussions. Then, show up to a May 12th election ready to cast a meaningful vote. Your knowledge matters. Your actions matter. The future of the Bahamas, stand up, speak up, get informed, and get involved. Visit orgbahamas.com/vote for free, neutral voter education resources.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world. See how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
The following is a paid political message. Out to Kalani.
Kalani, hey! The future is brighter. Whoa. it here.
You're looking for justice,
find it here.
You're looking for truth,
find it here.
Vote for MacGyver,
ah!
She's here for you.
See everybody in Kalani.
Change is here.
Hey!
Hands in the air.
Ayo! See everybody in Kalani.
Vote for MacGyver, ah!
She is a fighter.
Ah!
That was a paid political message.
The FNM can't agree on anything except attacking everything started by the PLP. Now Michael Pintard is calling for a reset, but imagine new airports canceled, school breakfast canceled, upskill canceled, the National Youth Guard canceled, energy reform, their crew would roll back progress. The FNM, not strong enough to lead us forward, but petty enough to drag us back. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron. Caller on the line right now. Good morning, caller. Thanks for your patience.
Good morning to both of you in the studio.
Morning.
This is C. Allen Johnson, the illegality. Aryan idealist.
All right. There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
You know, let me just give you my perspective. No, my ideal, because like you said, perspective is the difference. I see the advocacy of the feminist movement in the Bahamas has always been limited. And let me explain what I mean by that. It seems to be a dependent of asking for change rather than an external catalyst for change.
You notice there that too? Hold on, just stick a pin for Mado. See, Alan, you see what you start talking about right now?
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. You know I want to have a conversation about it, right? Because I don't know enough time in today's show to bring up the 10th anniversary of the gender equality referendum and all that has happened in it, right? So I want you to know that I am prepared to interrogate to the teeth the feminist movement in the Bahamas as well as the women's movement in the Bahamas, because what we may actually have been seeing is a movement fighting itself.
Yes.
Right? Not wanting to be called feminist, primarily because they don't understand the word. Let's put that aside. I really, really want to talk about this. I don't know if we have the time to talk about it today.
No, I don't. But
want, speed it up for me a little bit.
I just want the recommendation I give is this.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there are a lot of things now that the last 7 years has changed, mm-hmm. where I would say that our government or governance structure has no understanding. And you could call it the 21st century, which is 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's accelerating 7. And there are tools available that, like, for instance, you talk about housing, you talk about transportation and access to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
These tools is like, it was not demanded by us. It was given to us. But the beauty about it is that it is more powerful than governance itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a conversation on the exploitation of those to simply tweak them and say, hey, this is what we need to be tweaked. And then when those things are tweaked, believe it or not, is that, like, for instance, when policy, legislation and policy is in place, you don't need government. They will then fall in line as the workers they are. And when mm-hmm. we begin to think like that, and this is the end of it.
See, Alan, hold on. This is a second, another important, okay. Important conversation. Because when you said, like, we're not demanding these things, they've been given to us. We don't even question who gave them to us and why, right? But we just assume that when they're given to us, they will work the same way they work in a developed country or in the global north or in the U.S., not understanding that we first have to understand why and how it works, where it originated, and then how we must amend, enhance, or evolve it to apply it to us.
Yes.
Man, listen, see, Alan, but I got to go because
fine. I'm just simply, I would enjoy to have a non-confrontation. I am considered an egalitarian in the truest respect, or humanist, or transhumanist, whatever you want to call it. So I understand it, but a lot of times people just don't understand me.
I got you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Two very sort of interesting conversations. But I think it all boils down to a lack of empathy and a refusal to acknowledge who should be centered in a policy conversation, who should be centered and why in policy development, and then empathy in the implementation and enforcement of policy as well.
There's also respect for the people that the policies are for, mm-hmm. and recognizing that people do have the right and the capacity to participate in the development of policy. So it doesn't always have to be some small group of people coming up with all of the policies for everyone else because they've been elected. If you're going to be a representative, then represent us. Mm-hmm. That means you have to actually talk to us.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons that we decided to develop this process, these feminist standards for governance, to ensure that we are engaging with people, and we, the people, have the opportunity to identify the issues that we see and participate in, lead, actually, in mm-hmm. developing the solution.
Absolutely. We have a text here that says, we also have to understand ourselves before we can use those same tools to our benefit. Right? Thank you, yeah. Texter. Thank you, Texter. So, the policies that have been developed so far?
We have some of them on the website now. EqualityBahamas.com/feminist standards is where you can find it. You just go to EqualityBahamas.com and you'll find it in the menu, mm-hmm. Campaigns, and then you'll see the Feminist Standards for Governance page. Mm-hmm. We also have a great day coming up Tuesday, May 12th. You might have heard this date a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may be familiar with it.
You might be thinking about where you might be on that day and when. We will be at Poinciana Paper Press at 12 Parkgate Road from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., mm-hmm. welcoming people to join us in creating zines that are based on the Feminist Standards for Governance. So mm-hmm. you might come in and read the standards, the recommendations, and maybe one on health really speaks to you. You're really excited about it. We welcome you to come and sit with us and mm-hmm. type, collage, write, draw, whatever you feel like doing to create a zine that shares the information from the Feminist Standards for Governance. So it's a way to directly engage with the material and become a part of the process of sharing it with others.
All right. So from 2 to 10?
2 to 7.
2 to 7 p.m. will be the Equality Bahamas Feminist Standards for Governance zine making workshop. And from 12 noon to 7 p.m., there's another exhibition taking place. The whole day, the exhibition is called Polling Stationery. Polling Stationery. And so before the Feminist Standards for Governance workshop zine making workshop starts, there will be another exhibition called Propaganda. Propaganda, are you disappointed in the quality of ganda being provided by your local political parties? We'll come out and see some proper ganda at number 12 Parkgate Road, Poinciana Paper Press, from 12 to 7. Zines start at 2 to 7.
Exactly. Come in, have a look at Propaganda, and then become a part of the exhibition of Feminist Standards for Governance by creating...
Through the time that I have been promoting the exercise, this policy development workshops, I have encouraged members of the community who may not feel comfortable with the word feminist to come out and take part in at least one session so you can understand it and maybe duplicate the process in a slightly different framework. Take the word feminist out of it.
Sure.
Right? But it was an exercise for people to build capacity. And see, that's the part about feminism, right? Like, we don't have to agree on everything. We should agree on the basics. And one of the basics is, if we have resources that are effective and positive, we should be willing to share them.
Absolutely. And we will be sharing the process, the design, mm-hmm. so that people will be able to use it. It's a spin on an innovation process. It's a great way to get people talking, to get people to think deeper about something that they think they know about already.
Mm-hmm. We only have a few minutes left. I see the producer play that music, and they come in right now, producer. One thing that we really haven't touched on, and I haven't touched on sufficiently, I think, leading up to the election, is what more do we want from women in politics? Right? We often ask the question, what more do women want? But I think the question that we should be asking is, what more do we want from women in politics? Given the big hoopla, Davis is leader of the opposition, ministers, prime minister with the whistles, and then ministers, leader of the opposition, bringing in the whistles in the House of Assembly, and Mr. Wayne Monroe, the same Mr. Wayne Monroe that said that everybody knows a seven-year-old could consent even if the law doesn't recognize it, said he was so disappointed. I'm trying to find the right word. The disappointed minister for bringing the whistles. What have you brought, Minister of National Security? What have you brought to the table to ensure the safety of women? I just realized the producer played a song for me, you know. Thank you, producer. Every once in a while, I need that remembrance. It's going to be okay. And we all need to remember that.
Things can be changed.
It's going to be okay, but you know why? Because we can own course. Even if the politicians are just walking us in circles, we could break away from that cycle. We could chart our own course. We have the tools.
We can.
And that's why, even though we're just one working day away from the national general election, I wanted to take this time to talk with Equality Bahamas about this process. I hope that it's something that people also see as effective for engaging governance and not just politics.
Absolutely. Becoming more active citizens and participating in governance.
There you go. Here's a text to end the show. It says, it should be what we want out of politics, period. Pun intended. I don't know if the text intended that. Woman or man, it doesn't matter who delivers. That's it. That's exactly your texter. That's what feminist standards for governance means. Doesn't matter who delivers, man or woman. It's what we want. Anyway, Ms. Wallace, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.